If it's not a sacrifice of sometimes money, time, inconvenience, God will ask you to do things sometimes that are really inconvenient. Ask you to give money, ask you to do things that are uncomfortable. And thank God there are people out there that do. Amen. Just keep doing it. Keep being faithful. And I appreciate all of you who are faithful to the end. And sometimes, you know, in life, no matter what we're doing, it seems sometimes it's like may seem a little unconventional. But, amen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. But he's always faithful, amen? Amen. He'll ask, you know, the Bible, he asks people to do a lot of strange things. Kind of like Jacob and his father-in-law, Laban, you know. I'll take all the spotted, you know, cattle and everything else too. And guess what? Most all of them ended up being spotted, right? Why would that be? Things just don't make sense. But that's why the Lord says, lean not into your own understanding, but on his. And so Proverbs, we're going to talk about being led in the end times. It's very important to be led in the end times because, you know, you can watch TV, and I know I pound on TV a lot, but again, all they're doing is reporting natural things. There's no spirit led. There's nothing there. They have no spiritual discernment on anything. And so they actually mock and make fun of anything that is spiritual. And so why would I want to listen to that? They can't get the weather right, and then, you know, or anything else. I'm gonna listen to this right here, and the Spirit of God, amen. And the people that approve of themselves to be spiritually mature. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all of the what inward parts of everybody else telling you what to do." Right, the inward parts of Facebook. The inward of YouTube. No, the inward parts of the belly. Or like Brother Higgins says, belly. I like the way he says it, belly. But it's a... we're going to get our answers from the inside, aren't we? He's going to give us witness about the inside. And there's one thing to be led by the Spirit of God and to seek him out. Now, Many, you know, denominations or many people will use a lot of Old Testament scriptures for new, you know, and replace it for new. For example, we see that, back there, Gideon had a fleece that he put out, right? What was the fleece? Well, if it's going to be dew and, you know, if this thing's going to be wet, then I'll go in it. No, we don't do things based on if you do this, then this will happen, then I'll do this. See, that's Old Covenant, that's Old Testament, we don't do that anymore. Look at Romans chapter 8, while you're turning there, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Romans 8, 13. And you know, the whole thing of it is, it's like this, if you have any kind of spiritual discernment at all, right, and things were weird, the past year and a half, if you're any kind of enlightened at all, or have any kind of inward witness, your inside is going... this isn't right. You know? There's just so much stuff at play here that is so hokey. You ever just smell a rat? You know? And this whole year and a half, all I've been smelling is just dirty rats all over the place. On the inside, you get that. This just isn't right. This just isn't right. This just isn't right. And so, you know, the Lord will lead you to things I remember back in January of 2020, it was one of the prophetic people that we listened to and follow said the Lord took him. And this is before anybody said anything else. This is like the very first part of January 2020, right? He said the Lord showed him. He saw where these scientists were putting this coronavirus together, creating this thing to launch. The Lord showed him, and he said the Lord took him to the lab. He saw it and everything else too. That was crazy talk back then. Now it's common knowledge. See, the Lord will show you things to come. He'll show you things to come. And then when you say these things, well, you know what, just give it time. It'll come out. I always say people, they always, you know, want to bash people about these things. Say, you know, I always just say, just give it time. Whether they're right or wrong, it'll come to pass. That's all you have to do. Just let it go. And how did he get that? It was by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 13 through 17 says, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Here's what we want to get to. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Everybody say led. Led, led by what? The Spirit of God. Please get this down tonight. Not CNN, not the news networks, not your neighbor, not your friends, anybody else. It is the Spirit of God that we are led by. That's why people may think that I'm crazy or you're crazy when you stand up and you're like, this just isn't right. I can't put a handle on it, but it doesn't feel right. Because your inward, your spirit man is saying, this isn't right. And so it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how we know if we're sons or daughters of God, is because not only it talks about if we love the brethren, the scripture says, but if we're led by His Spirit, right? We don't rely on the natural circumstances. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to put a gunny sack over my head and say, okay, I'm going to be led by the Spirit and I'm going to just going to walk around in the street and believe God's going to lead and guide me. Okay, you're stupid. Because God gave you two eyes to see, and we're not talking about doing dumb things like that. But what we're talking about is our decisions of life, the things we need to do, we need to check on the inside, okay? People will look at these things and go, oh, he's crazy, he's doing... No, we're not talking about that. Verse 15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What have we been experiencing a whole year and a half? Fear. I always like to know this, to note this. People who peddle fear like to control you. There's a spirit of control and fear that go hand in hand. And the devil loves to peddle fear so we can control you. Anybody who wants... Now, there's one thing of saying, okay, something's happening. I want to warn you of this or something like that. Or, you know, you tell your kids, don't go play in the street, okay, because you could get hit. Now, we're not trying to put fear into them, but we're trying to warn them. But we've seen over, especially the last year and a half, that people that are trying to control people through fear, right? And we're not ignoring the facts, and we're not saying you shouldn't be cautious on things. I understand that. But fear and control go hand in hand, and we'll talk more about it here in a minute. But here we go. So we know that fear and the spirit of bondage are together. It's a byproduct. The spirit of bondage is a byproduct of fear. Why? Because because fear, it will limit you. Fear is like you're living in a cage, you know? I mean, it's funny because it's like that old movie, What About Bob, you know? Bill Murray talking about, you know, baby steps, and all this other stuff, right? I mean, he won't go outside. He won't touch the doorknob. He won't do anything. Why? Fear will enslave you. And the Spirit of God gives you liberty, right? Because when you walk in the Spirit, I mean, often your attitude is like, your opinion is not needed, right? You begin to get to the place in life, you're like, I am walking with God. Now, it doesn't mean that we get prideful or we just ignore other people around us. Now, that's a whole other subject. But what it does mean is when we're led by the Spirit and we're going according to the Word of God and we're focused on Him, then we're not worried about situations and circumstances. We don't care what people think about us. We don't care what it looks like. We're just going to do it and be obedient. Then he goes on and he says here, but we, after have received the spirit of adoption, we cry, what? Abba, Father. This is why they wanted to kill Christ, because he equated himself. He said, my Father. He equated God as Father. And what did they say after that? That they equated him equal with God. We are many gods, right? If we're born again, doesn't mean we're deity. It doesn't mean I am God. It doesn't mean anything else. But what it does mean is we have the same attributes as God. We should have, right? Now, I'm not omniscient. I'm not omnipresent. I can't be everywhere all the time. I can't know everything all the time or anything else like that too. But what it does mean is what I need to know, he's going to show me. He's going to reveal things to me. And verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can't talk me out of salvation tonight. You can't do it. Because on the inside, my gut tells me that I know that I know that I know that I know. Why? Because the Word says so, and I have it bearing witness on the inside of me. Right? You know how many people I've sat there in the deathbed and watched and held their hands right when they die, and they're crying and everything, and they don't know whether they're going to heaven. Well, I make sure they do know before they go. But they don't have this witness on the inside of them that they're really sure that they're going to go. So we get them born again. Can't wait to meet them on the other side someday. It's going to be awesome. So my record is, I think I prayed with a guy one time and he died like 4 hours later. So we made it. Amen. But he didn't have that assurance. So he's in a better place now. And I'm jealous of him right now. So anyway, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So again, God is going to lead us by the Spirit, and we can have peace. Now, you know, these people that peddle fear all the time. Now, God will show you things that are not always happy, or he's impressed on me sometimes that I get this scratchy feeling, right? Doesn't mean it's not God. It just means he's trying to warn me of some things, right? But we always know that it's God is because the right thing, we always have peace. I always like to think of it this way. The devil will drive you to make a decision. You got to make a decision now. You got to hurry it up. Oh, you got to do this. If you don't do this, and the Holy Spirit will just lead you. When you think about something the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, you just have peace in that area. You just have peace. You feel wrong not doing it. I would just say that. If you don't do it, you know you're missing it. Anytime the devil or the flesh tries to get you to do something, you always have this knot, this hesitation, this kind of double mind. We are led by the Spirit. Again, in the Old Testament, people would go to prophets. Now, this is something recently, we have everybody online, you know, that they're talking about, well, a prophet, you got to listen to the prophets, and they're this and that and that. And I understand there are people who are prophets. They're going to speak things out. They're going to see things. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal some things in the future. And we've seen some of those people that have, you know, the Lord has given them some things about this year and other things that have been going on. And they've been accurate and they've been right. But we're not to get our personal guidance from these people, are we? No, we're not. You don't need to come to me for guidance. Because what I'm going to tell you to do, read the Word and pray. Did you pray about it? No. We'll go back and pray about it. What's the Holy Spirit telling you to do? Right? Because Jesus isn't going to give me any more information than he will directly to you. Old Testament people went to prophets for answers and things like that because nobody's born again. The Holy Spirit, the Lord would speak to prophets to give it to the people. In the New Testament, he wants to talk to you directly about your life, right? Now, I've known some pastors in the past that, you know, they used to be in the 70s called the shepherding movement, where you know you have people that, you know, you'd have to talk to the pastor about if you wanted to move, or, you know, about jobs or anything like that. That is completely unbiblical. There's no priests in the New Covenant, right? They're not. That's Old Testament stuff. There's no grandchildren in the kingdom. There's only children. We all have a direct relationship with God, right? I'm not like a child of God, and then I have children, and they're grandchildren of God. No, there's nothing like that in the kingdom. We're all direct children of God. Now we all have the same great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great- You don't need to come to me or anything else. Now, there is one thing we'll talk about getting godly counsel. That's one thing to help out, to help people. But you should strive to develop to the place where you can pray and get something from God yourself. And that leads us to Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Some pastors, they want everybody to be babies and come to them directly and have complete control over everybody, you know, and you got to come to them and tell them. The greatest thing for me is everybody in here become Brother Hagin and go help other people, right? That would just absolutely just be the most amazing thing in the world. For everybody in here to be absolute Bible scholars and know and go help people, and you get, you know, led by the Spirit yourself and be able to do things yourself. Why? Because you're not my congregation. You belong to the Lord, right? I'm here just help facilitating, and we'll talk about my job here in a minute, but I want to develop you. It's like anything else. I mean, I was so thankful when the girls got out of diapers and out of formula. It was like, hallelujah. It was like an instant pay raise, you know? It was like the clouds parted, and the hallelujah chorus began to sing, and it was just wonderful, right? I mean, what a blessing not have to wipe poopy rear ends and, you know, throw diapers away and all that. Who wants to mess with that? I don't want to mess with that stuff, right? You know, you get in a car ride and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you have this explosion in the seat and you're taking clothes off and it's just terrible. Those days are gone. Hallelujah, right? We can go to the bathroom ourselves. You know what? As a pastor, I want you to go potty yourself. I don't want to have to clean up after you, right? Because you belong to Jesus. Amen? We can all go to Him directly. He loves you. He's going to help you. Amen? How do you develop? Well, you're going to spend time in the Word. You're going to spend time praying. Through that, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal some things to you. I remember ministers in the past, you know, they'd sit there and spend hours counseling people, and then it was like, go spend 2 hours praying the Holy Ghost, and then nobody ever came back. Why? Because that time the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Now there's some good things I can help out with, and you know, there's some things that I know, but Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and he gave some gifts, or some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers to control all the people in the church. Right? Isn't that what that says? For you to come to us and then it's to tell you how to live your life and who to marry and what to do and blah, 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 blah. No, that doesn't say it at all. It says what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I'm here to help build you up. I'm here to help pump you up for you to grow and to mature and to do the work of the ministry. Insecure people don't like to hear this stuff, right? Especially leaders. You see, you know, we see the political realm too, where they want to control you. They don't want to tell you the truth. The news doesn't want to tell you the truth. They don't want to let you make your decision. They don't want to let you be free. They want to control you. You have to do this. This is a scenario. This is everything. You're all going to have to do this. Everybody has to do this. It's all control, and that's demonic. From the pit of hell. Anybody that tries to control you is from the pit of hell. Just walk away. My goodness. Dear Lord, we don't need that. That is from the flesh. And that is one of the works of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, isn't it? It's manipulation. Anybody that tries to manipulate you to do things, run. My goodness, run to Jesus. I don't have all the answers. I have this. But I go to the same God you do. Now, sometimes the Lord, maybe through this time, will give me certain things for certain people, but it all comes from Him. It's nothing from me. I don't have anything. Amen? He doesn't have any favorites. Well, he does me, but I'm kidding. But he doesn't have any favorites. We're all his favorite, right? Speak to us all directly. So how do we do that? We grow and mature. We get in the Word. We pray. And that's where Brother Hagin said, the beginning of the supernatural is praying in tongues. And it certainly is true. It's very, very true. So for the perfecting, verse 12, are you anybody getting anything? Is everybody asleep? Are you hungry or what's okay? All right, just want to make sure you're with me. All right, I didn't want to wake somebody up here. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. So that's my job, is to feed and help all of us here, to grow and to mature, to be the best you can be, to do what God's called you to do, to raise your kids, to be successful, amen, and to do all we can for God. And then it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Other translations say, a mature person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Jesus is, he is the goal, right? Not me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? Jesus is the goal. I'm running towards a goal. Follow me as we're all following towards Jesus, right? So Jesus is the goal. And there we go. that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby we lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're to grow and develop. And you know, here's the whole thing too. As you become spiritually mature and you're led by the Spirit, you can smell a rat. In the early days when Adrian and I, you know, we're coming back to the Lord and everything, they're just things you just kind of swallow as a young believer. But when you begin to have the inward witness, you listen to something and you're like, that just ain't right. You know, that's off. There's just something about that person. They're just not right. And so, Proverbs 11:14. And this is kind of the other counterbalance to it. Proverbs 11:14, it says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So there is something to say about getting some counsel, right? I have done that before. I've reached out to people, and you can definitely reach out to me. I'm always happy to help. But I'm not the Holy Spirit, right? I can help you on certain things, and you can get counsel. But the end all be all needs to be, you need to develop yourself with the Holy Spirit to get answers from Him directly. And we're going to look at some examples here in a minute where in the Scripture, people were wrong, but the people who were led by the Holy Spirit had the inward witness were right. So again, there's nothing wrong with having counsel, but we can't rely on that, can we? I'll just say this. People are missing the supernatural, waiting for the spectacular. Instead of the inward witness, like we just talked about there in Romans chapter 8, the inward witness, they're waiting for the spectacular. You know, they're waiting for the clouds to part. You know, they're waiting for Mother Teresa to appear in the clouds and the crucifix, or, you know, a message formed in their Cheerios, yeah, or whatever. You know, it's like, well, praise the Lord, I saw, you know, the Virgin Mary in my Cheerios today, you know? Well, in that case, you know. No, that isn't how God works, right? You know? In my Fruit Loops. Yeah, you're a Fruit Loop, all right. You are what you eat, right? I wouldn't go to the bank on that. Wouldn't cash that check. So back to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says, we are led by the Spirit, and again, not people or their opinions. Hello? The Lord spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus. The men with him heard a voice. They didn't know what was going on. Saul, what, heard the voice of the Lord. It completely changed his life, didn't he? Didn't it? So the Lord drastically changed Saul, which later became Paul, which wrote most of the New Testament. All because he heard the voice of the Lord, right? The Lord spoke to Peter about how the Gentiles could be born again. At that time, the apostles only thought, and thank God he got the revelation, because if not, we would all be in trouble, right? I mean, most of us, I don't know if there's any Jews in here, but most of us would be in trouble. Because back then they thought that only Jews, only the Hebrews could be born again and experience this. And then finally, the Lord told Peter, hey, don't call that which is unclean, that unclean which is clean. And he had this supernatural experience, and the Holy Spirit spoke directly to him. It was what? It was going against the grain of everything else that they were being taught or they believed. And Peter finally saw the revelation. He said, hey guys, we've been missing the mark here. I mean, we've only been focusing on that. And then what happened? And that's the reason why the Apostle Paul, I mean, Saul, that later became the Apostle Paul, he took his three missionary journeys. What did he do? Here's this guy, and this is the way God works. And see, this is why it's so important to be led by the Spirit. The man who was uneducated, which was Peter, went and ministered to the Jews and the Hebrews that were educated, right? Because they had all of these educated, and they knew the Word of God. Then we see the Apostle Paul, who was what we call, he even called himself, I am the Pharisees of Pharisees. He was I mean, many scholars believe he's probably one of the most brilliant men who've ever lived that understood the scripture, was called to the people who didn't know the scriptures. And that's why it's very important to be led by the Spirit, because something that you think you need to do or whatever, you may be in the wrong spot, you may be in the wrong field, but whatever. Again, it's going where God has called you to do. So Peter had the revelation about the Gentiles being born again, not just the Hebrews at that time. Thank you for that revelation, because again, we would be in big trouble if that didn't come down the pipeline, right? Acts chapter 21, verse 4. And this is where we want to dig into tonight about it's so important to be led by the Spirit. It is so important to seek God on decisions. So important. We skip over this portion of Scripture and we don't really focus on it a lot. And it says, Acts 21, verse 4, and it says, "And finding disciples." Now, this is Paul. And I'll read this. It says, "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem." So let me give you a little backstory of this. The Apostle Paul said, "The Lord is calling, the Holy Spirit is leading me to Jerusalem." Well, he knew what was going to happen in Jerusalem. What? He was going to be arrested at that time, and he knew he's probably going to be arrested, and then there would be no more of Paul, right? And we see here, now, what's the first part? Finding disciples. So these are men and women and people of God, right? These are disciples. These are people that are believers. They were there 7 days who told Paul, "Don't go. We feel like you shouldn't go. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this." Now, Paul is sensing something. The Holy Spirit's telling him something that isn't really great news, right? Because he knows what the outcome's going to be. Verse 8, and it says, "The next day we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the 7 men who had been chosen to distribute food. He had 4 unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over and he took Paul's belt and he bound his feet and hands with it. And then he said, 'The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. But he said, 'Why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus.' When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave up and said, 'The Lord's what? Will be done.'" We see people, disciples, believers, trying to talk Paul out of what the Holy Spirit was leading him to do. And he even got confirmation from Agabus. Believers, because why? Because the news wasn't what they wanted to hear. Tried to talk Paul out of not going. Let's see, there's a guy named Jesus who was talked out of doing it by a guy named Peter. Right? Remember that one? Remember that? Jesus is talking, and Peter, by the Holy Spirit, said, "You're the rock," or he said, "You're the Son of God." And what did Jesus say? He says, "You're the rock." What he meant by that was that revelation, not that Peter's the rock, because the Catholics believe that Peter is the rock. He's not. It's the revelation Peter had, that revelation that Jesus is the Messiah is the foundation of our faith. That's the cornerstone, because Jesus is the cornerstone, right? And then what's the next breath? And then Jesus says, "Well, I got to go and I got to be crucified," you know, telling him about everything he's got to do. And Peter said, "You don't have to do that, Jesus." And what did Jesus say? "You're the devil." Right? Now, I believe Jesus knew what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do, right? And that was go to the cross, be sacrificed for all of us, and be the redeemer of all of our sins with the shedding of blood, right? Are you with me? Are you guys with me? So if Peter called, or if Jesus called Peter the devil at that time, now we see Paul has got to deal with the same thing, the same spirit, right? Because what happens? We see that later on, Paul is now in front of the leaders of that country. And what is he? He's witnessing. And what is the thing that they say? You almost persuade me to believe, right? So here's Paul sowing seed to the world leaders of that time. Rome had, he is standing in front of the most powerful man in the Middle East at that time, of the world, was Rome. He is standing in front of him. The reason why he went to Jerusalem, and then he was handed over to the Gentiles, because the message he had to impact these people, right? God had a supernatural path for him to go. But as we look here, we see that the church, people who are well-believing, they are well-meaning, are trying to talk Paul out of what God has ordained him to do. Right? You just can't do that. That's not of God. And what did they say? I like this. It was clear they couldn't persuade him, but that the Lord's will be done. Isn't that scary that most Christians, that we're seeing Christians, they're really focused on comfort and what feels good and running away from what's difficult than what? The Lord's will. And we see it right here in Paul's day. And Paul had to deal with it, right? And we see many people that reject any word that's not positive. This doesn't make me feel good or anything. I just can't deal with it. I remember doing different things in my life. For example, this is crazy, but before I started where I'm working now, I had a job offer from another place. I thought, well, I was going to take that. And I copied down the date stamp here. It's the email that I got. So what happened was I had another job offer, and where I'm at now, they never got back to me. And I kept feeling on the inside, it was like, that's where I need to go. I know I'm going to work there. They just never called me back, and it drug on for at least 3 months the whole time. You know, I'm thinking, is this ever going to happen? You know, but on the inside, the Lord told me that's where I'm going to work, and spoke to Adrian years ago that I was going to work there, right? And so went through all this interview process, and so I got this other job, and I was supposed to start on Monday. But the Lord kept telling me, you're going to work there, you're going to work there. So I never gave, now get this, I never gave notice to the place I was currently at. And I was supposed to start this other job on Monday. Well, it just kept gnawing at me. It was like, I know I'm going to work there. I know I'm going to work there. On the inside, I just didn't have peace going to this other place. But I never had peace of telling my current employer that I was leaving. And just, it was like I was in this limbo. So I got it right here. And then they offered me the new job on January 26th of 2018. That's a Friday at 3:45 p.m. I was supposed to start this new job on Monday, January 29th. So at the end of the day on Friday, that 11th hour, they told me. But on the inside, I kept getting, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know this is going to open up for me. And the Holy Spirit kept leading me to do that. And I kept holding off and holding off and holding off and holding off. And at the end, it all worked out. Why? Because, and it was like, why is this crazy? I should have let my employer know. I should have known these things. I should have known these things. But it was the inward witness. It was so strong. And it was like, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. Like, it was just, I felt that was a wrong thing to do. And that's where we're led by the Spirit of God. We know on the inside, it just keeps, it's one of those things where I know that I know that I know that I know that it's going to happen. And then also too, just some things the Lord was just kind of speaking to me about the church here back in 2019. We had it was like late 2018. I kept telling Adrian, I kept saying, you know, I don't know, our old facility, I said, you know what, I just don't know, I just don't feel like we're supposed to sign that contract again. And it kept gnawing at me, and it kept gnawing at me, and we just kept thinking, I don't know. Well, then now we see COVID hit, and a lot of other things happened, right? And again, the Lord will show you things you don't even have any idea what's going on, right? I don't know why this is all happening, but I do know that the Lord, I believe the Lord rescued us from a lot of things. Amen? And that He's got our best interest at heart. And sometimes we don't understand what's going on, or like, why is this happening, or why are we taking this detour, or why is this anything else? But I sure am glad I sleep good at night, not having some enormous mortgage that I have to come up with. Amen, personally, that I'd have to, Adrian and I'd have to personally come up with. Amen. But again, it's being led by those things and saying, you know what, doesn't make sense, but I feel like sense that this is the right direction to go. And you know that, and I always like to say this, what does it feel like when you do the thing you feel like you're not supposed to? Do you have a sinking feeling, or does it feel right? If it has a sinking feeling on the inside and you feel just, it's bad, you, like Brother Higgins says, that scratchy feeling on the inside, then that's probably the Holy Spirit putting the brakes on you. But if you have it where it's like, I feel it's wrong if I don't do this over here, and not because of my emotions or anything, but because I just have this on the inside, this is the right thing to do, and I have a that it's confirmed on the inside, because again, we're sons and daughters, we're led by the Spirit. It doesn't say we might be, it says that if we're born again, the Holy Spirit's in us and upon us, and He's consistently speaking to us about things. It's just whether or not we're going to have our ears open or not. I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to us all the time, and we're just not seeing things a lot. Oral Roberts said one time that the Lord, there are blessings coming at us all the time, and most people don't recognize them. And I believe He's speaking to us all the time, but there is communication, but it's whether we're going to get in the Word and pray and spend time with Him and stop and listen. I hear more from the Lord. I'll read, I'll meditate. And again, as a young believer myself, you know, you think of prayer time, you're just running off the mouth for an hour. You know, I'm just praying. I'm putting in my time. Well, a lot of your prayer time is listening. You know, I'm really good at that at home. I do a lot of listening because there's a lot of chatter all around me. So I can't talk that much, right? So I get a lot of practice at just listening. I remember Brother Hagin, we'll close here in a minute, but Brother Hagin had the Lord speak to him about cutting costs and staff. You know, it was like in the late 70s. At one time, the Lord told him that there's a financial downturn coming, right? He did it, and it saved his ministry a lot of heartache, right? And people will say, well, that's not having faith. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is obeying the will of God. That's what faith is. And faith is having the courage and the confidence to do what God has told you to do. Many people, and I've done this before, we want to get ourselves into a mess and then say, God bless my mess. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at all. We got to find out what God wants us to do and then walk it out. Where does God want us? What does He want us to do? How is He leading us to do things, right? You know, we've had people, and you know what? God will work in different ways. I remember, and we've had vehicles given to us. We've had things given to us. But, you know, we've had people, we know, like down at Rhema, you know, all these people, they get up and you know, oh, praise God, somebody gave me, you know, $20,000 and it's wonderful and I don't have to worry about any financial situation. And you're like, gee, I have enough money for lunch. And then you get people that, you know, they got somebody to give a car to them because, well, I gave my car away and somebody gave me a car. And then there was a guy down at Rhema that he heard that, so he gave his car away and he walked 6 months. So again, we can't ride off of somebody else's way God done some He did something from somebody else the way that they did it. We expect God to do the same way. It's not going to happen that way. And a couple other interesting things. You know, the Lord appeared to Brother Hagin several times. But He said the last time He spoke to him, He says, I'm never gonna appear to you anymore. You're going to have to get it from the inward witness here on out. I'm never going to appear to you again. You have to get it from the inward witness. And Brother Hagin said, he's like, I wouldn't, you know, the Lord showed him, you know, some things, but he says most, all the time, you know, he would be ministering and to be in the prophets, and he would maybe say things for people or give people words, but he goes, the Lord never spoke to me about myself during those times because he expected me to get it from the inward witness from spending time with him. And so, again, not living by the Spirit or not going with the Spirit, many religious folks have no idea or confidence or even when the Lord speaks to them about anything. So, you know, they have no idea how to be led by the Spirit on the inward witness, getting anything from him. And then what happens is, since they, and it is laziness, a lot of it is laziness. They just don't want to spend the time or they don't want to pursue, you know, actually hearing for God from themselves. So everything is pushed in a pile of, it's all God's will now, right? So I'm a believer and everything's just God's will. You know, if that happened, then it's God's will, you know? I had a guy that, colleague of mine that at work this week, and he said a friend of his is only 40 years old and he died. Well, that's not God's will. I mean, I look here at Psalms 91:16. It says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Right? The Bible specifically says that it's God's will. He wants us all to live a long life, have a satisfying life with him, and to show us his salvation. That is God's will. And then to say, well, God took this person or God took that person. What you're doing is you're speaking against the divine word of God. And it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. And denominational folks will run to that a lot, right? Religious folks will run to that garbage all the time, all day long. But it's dangerous to say things about that, right? You know, I had some family members that it's like, well, you know, the Lord took him. No, he smoked like a chimney and he drank like a fish. That was his problem. God didn't take him, right? I had a friend of mine that was on dope, and I saw him, he was on his Harley, drove by my house about 100 miles an hour when I was in college, and an hour later he was dead. No, he drove his motorcycle like an idiot, and he was on dope. That's what killed him. God didn't take him, right? God doesn't kill people. And you know how many people I've talked to people over the years, witnessed to them about everything. Why would I want to serve God when he's killing my family members? Well, I wouldn't want to serve him either. Would you? If God's out killing family members and everything. But see, it all comes back to the inward witness. I mean, if God is loving, would he really want to do that to us? No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. And so that all comes back to 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need to pick up the Bible for ourselves. We need to look at it for ourselves and say, is this, even myself, say, you know what? You can search the scriptures yourself. Look at all of these things yourself, and you can judge for yourself. But again, and one of the interesting things is Mark 7:13, last scripture here, and it says, thus making the word of God no effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many like things you do. I'll read in the Amplified, but we can just bring it down to brass tacks, and it says this, the way that you've been taught and you've been thinking, everybody has told you in the past, makes the word of God of no effect, right? Well, my denomination told me this. It must be God's will. Speaking in tongues is the devil. God doesn't heal today. It's just God's will. You know, God puts sickness and disease on people, blah, 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 blah. And there's not one scripture for any of that crap, right? There is not one scripture at all for any of that garbage. But why? Because my denomination told me this, my preacher told me this, my family tells me this, I went to this church and blah, 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 and nobody cares, right? Because all of that junk makes the word of God void. It does not empower you or the word in your mouth anymore. You have just now just cut the word out. You have just made it void and powerless. In the Amplified Classic, it says, so you nullify the authority of the word of God, acting as if it did not apply because of your tradition, which you have handed down through elders, Now we're into fairy tales, right? Now we're into traditions. Now we're into, well, so-and-so said this. And you do many things such as that. Wow. Right? It's amazing how, like, I've gotten into discussions with people in other denominations and other things too. And it's civil. I'm never rude with people. But, you know, we'll go in and I'll start. And I purposely, I've had people come before. Close with this story here. When I used to live in Oskaloosa, I had hair down the middle of my back. And so I had a Harley out. I had my Harley out and back, you know, and my Harley there. And I got done cutting the grass. I changed oil on my Harley, and I was a greasy mess. I just looked like an absolute, you know, dirtbag, greaser. I had grass all over me, oil and everything. And these people came up and, hey, can I tell you about, you know, there's some cult there. Can I tell you about this? Sure, tell me. And then, you know, they're telling me, and then they'd tell me one thing, and I'd quote like 10 scriptures back to them. And then finally, I said, well, you guys come back. See, because they were judging me on my appearance, right? That I am some greasy Harley, beer drinking, you know, bar hopping guy. Oops. See, I got them off of their little script and got them into actual scripture, and they didn't know what to do. See? So you get people off of the script, off of the thing, right? I purposely do that to people, especially denominations, because I want to prove that you haven't studied any of this stuff out. Don't come to me and talk to me about this stuff. I want to make sure, because I purposely target specific things to get them off track, because I want them to think about things. Even if they don't accept what I'm saying, I want them to question what they're thinking and what they're believing. I do that all the time. I'm like, right? But God always comes back. And so, you know, especially we get over in the book of Acts, that's a dangerous book for religious folks, because, you know, anytime we get in the book of Acts, the first, second chapter, and any of those things, then we get off track, right? So, again, it's being led by the Spirit. We're focused on the Word of God. I will never separate myself from the Word of God. He is the one that's the whole source. The Holy Spirit is a source of knowledge. He's a source of our revelation. Not me, not any minister, not any person. We're simply vessels to help propagate and spread the message and the teachings. But Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He's the one that's going to lead and guide you. He's the one that's going to give you peace. He's the one that's going to help you. He's the one that's going to give you that inward witness moving forward. And how are we going to do that? We're going to study the Word for ourselves, like we just read there in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So often, you know, and this is something too where we can match, if we're really being led by the Spirit, often does it line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then throw it out. It is not of God, right? Oh, I think I'm going to go ahead and steal some money. I need it. No, that's not God. Why would you think that? Right? I think I'm going to go punch this person in the nose. No, that's not the love of God. Right? You know? Do you have those conversations around your house with little people sometimes? Yeah? Those little things, you know? Is it the love of God to go punch your sister? No, it's not. Is it the love of God to go yell at them? No, it's not. Right? So again, you know, that's not being led by the Spirit. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time together, Lord. Holy Ghost, we thank you that you're leading your people. Amen. You're leading them, Jesus, to you. Lord, in these times that we can information overload and people sending and giving information, Lord, we know that we can focus on your word and we can know on the inside whether we have peace or not. And perfect love casts out fear, Lord. And we know that control and fear go hand in hand, and we're not going to have anything to do with it, Lord. We don't have anything to do with it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. God, Father, I just pray for everyone here this week. We're going to press into you. We're going to have peace this week. We're going to rely on your voice in our lives. We're going to take time to listen to you, to hear your voice. We welcome your voice, Holy Spirit. We welcome your word in our lives. Lord, like Ephesians, where it says the washing of water, the washing of water, also in Colossians, that the washing of water, which is representation of the word, it cleanses our mind. There in Romans chapter 12, that we renew our mind. We renew our mind. 12, 1 and 2, Lord, we thank you that your word, it renews our mind and we get our thinking and right with you, because we can have the mind of Christ, Lord. We thank you that you are wanting to reveal things to us. Everybody repeat after me. Holy Spirit, wants to speak to me
right now.
And I hear his voice.
And I hear his voice.
In Jesus' name. Amen. We used to say that all the time in prayer school when I was in Rhema. We would say things like, I'm praying out the plan, I hear his voice, and I know the plan. Mm-hmm. It's very good to confess those things. Amen. Because you got to get your mind convinced the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He is revealing truths to you, and you do know the plan, and you are walking them out. Amen. And the devil wants to lie to you and say, nope, you don't know the plan. You'll never know the plan. The plan is under your nose. It's in you. God has already, he's already put gifts and callings in all of us. They're already implanted into us. He's already have a vision and a plan before the earth was began. We were in the mind of God, and now he's created us. He's programmed us genetically in everything. We are wired to accomplish the task he's called us to do. Amen? So the gifts, the ability is in us. We just need the Holy Spirit to unlock it for us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.